This is my monthly media availability. I have a couple things that I would like to cover in addition to the crime statistics, and then, of course, we'll have questions. First, on our crime statistics, I caution everybody that this is the first month of the year, obviously, and things become very unsettled as you do statistical analysis in over a short time period. So we have a couple of anomalies here, things that will bear further watch and further concern, but may even out over time. Specifically, a large increase in homicides for January. This January, so far we have had 33 homicides, and that compares to only 22 last January. So obviously a large increase. That is not reflected in general crime statistics, however, though, particularly violent crime, which of course is the precursor to homicide. Violent crime in the city is actually down 15%. Again, these numbers are very soft. Short time period, relatively small number database, nothing to draw conclusions on yet. Rape is also down slightly, 7%. Robbery down significantly, 20%. Aggravated assaults are the precursor to homicide, encouragingly are also down 11%. So I anticipate that the homicide numbers will reflect this as time passes, although we will watch this very, very closely. And I will bring out that there has been an increase in the Wilmington area that we are addressing through increased deployment and additional detectives. That's an increase in gang activity leading up to gang homicide. Property crime also down throughout the city. So far, a total of about 3%. Burglaries are about even. Burglary theft from vehicle down slightly. Personal theft down slightly. Auto theft down about 9%. Again, way early in the year to draw conclusions. So I encourage people not to do that. Encouragingly, shootings are down. Shootings are down significantly, and gang crime is down significantly. So hopefully those trends will continue and will reverse the homicide trend. But again, this is something that we watch very, very closely. A couple of major cases that have been of interest to the media and the public. One is the Hervey Medellin murder, which occurred on January 17th. That is the 66-year-old Hollywood resident who was found decapitated and his hands and feet discovered in the hills above Hollywood. That case is assigned to Robbery Homicide Division. We have our absolute best detectives working on it. They are making progress. I'm not going to delineate that progress because I don't want to inhibit their investigation by releasing too many details. But I have utmost confidence that we will reach a resolution in that case. I just ask the public's patience. We do not, in this case, think that the general public is at risk because of the nature of this crime. But it will take time. This is a case based on forensics, and much work is yet to be done. Also, I want to address the body of the young woman who was found on the Riverside Drive on-ramp to the Glendale Freeway on the 26th. She has not yet been identified or publicly identified by the coroner. I anticipate that is going to happen very shortly. I think that of interest in this case is that we do not believe this case is related to another young woman that was discarded along the freeway in April. Their robbery homicide and Hollenbeck detectives have met, have compared these cases, have compared them with all other cases that were similar, and we at this point do not believe them to be connected. Unfortunately, our freeways are used by criminals to discard their victims. And because of that, sometimes that is a similarity between cases, but we don't believe that they're connected by suspect. Lastly, I want to talk a little bit about my proposed changes in impound protocols. I know that this is a topic that is of great interest to many people. There's a lot of misinformation that is out about the wheres and the whys of this. I'd like to try to clarify that. There is a written piece that Media Relations has available to anyone in the media that will further explain this. The genesis for these protocol clarifications are that in a recent audit last year by our Inspector General, it was brought to our attention that the impound sections used when unlicensed vehicles are impounded are not equally applied throughout the city in all cases. And so in order to make sure that we equally apply these impound sections, and there are two, which I will talk about in a minute, we wanted to clarify our procedure so it becomes more clear to officers. Also, there is some recent court decisions which limit the police authority to impound vehicles when a licensed driver is immediately available. So we wanted to also make sure that our officers were complying with these court procedures, hence the clarification of that I believe is necessary. This is the nuts and bolts of what will happen in the new procedures. If an unlicensed driver is stopped, that individual will be cited. In the vast majority of cases, that individual's car will be impounded. But the difference will be whether or not the car is impounded just until a licensed driver comes forward with the registered owner to retrieve it, or if it's held for 30 days. Both sections are legal to use. We've conferred with the city attorney on this. Many jurisdictions throughout the state use them independently of each other. We believe we're on firm legal ground to use either section. But we want to use the sections when they make the most sense. We want to make sure that we use progressive penalties for crimes that are differing in their seriousness. So when an unlicensed driver is stopped and that individual has insurance, that individual has identification, that individual has not been convicted of driving without a license in the past, and that individual did not cause a serious accident leading to this stop, then we will use the impound section, which impounds a vehicle until a licensed driver and the registered owner come and pick it up. In all other instances, when a person does not have insurance, when a person does not have identification, when a person caused an accident, or when a person has a prior conviction, we will use the 30-day section. This does a couple of things. First, it ensures that we apply progressive penalties based on the seriousness of the offense. Second, it encourages people to do two things. It encourages them to have insurance. It encourages them to have identification. If we can make that dynamic change, then we will make the streets of Los Angeles safer. So that is the sum and substance of the procedural changes that will be going before the police commission for their consideration on the 14th of February. And with that, I'll answer questions.